If Randy is, do you need a break, Randy?
No, I'm fine.
More Kleenex?
All right, we'll officially open the administrative portion of our meeting. So we have one item on consent for the administrative portion of the meeting, but before I would move passage, I just had a quick question for Alana. I forgot to ask you ahead of time. The two items on consent were for one for Mitch Armstrong for one of the pipelines, but the other one was for upstairs. Sheldon Smith, I don't know that individual. Not that I have to, I just needed to get some background if I could.
Okay. I apologize, that's probably one of the little emails that I neglected to remember to send
out. Or you may have
out.
Sent it and I didn't read it.
No, I don't think I sent one. Sheldon Smith is one of the partners at Mitch's law firm.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay, that's the Smith part of the firm.
Okay.
And I first asked Mitch if he was interested or who did title opinions at his firm. We have done the title opinions in-house in the past. I've done one. Bill used to do a few, and Annette did one or two. Before that, we outsourced them. And frankly, I asked Jim if there were funds available in AML for legal services, because they need to be done in a month. They need to be done by mid-April.
I just wanted to get a little more background about
Sheldon Smith. And he does have his appointment. We waited for the appointment from the Attorney General's office that came in yesterday. So that's why it's on the meeting today.
Fair enough. I don't have any further questions on that. Any, Julie? All right. With that, I would move passage of the items on consent.
Second.
All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
And thanks for coming by, Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
Okay, so let's see here. Discussion matters with the commission. Status of Shores Construction Damage Prevention Enforcement. Alana.
Well, I did learn from the litigation experts in the AG's office that the service that we had, which came back not picked up as opposed to refused, is not sufficient, and so the next step is that we do need to serve it by personal service. And that...
What did we send them before?
We sent certified mail, and it came back not picked up, but I wasn't... I'm, you know, not familiar with how you read the little... There's a little stamp on there, and it's marked, like, attempted service and stuff like that, and I had scanned that and sent that down to Doug Anderson because he said he would know, and he sent me an email back that said, not good. Not good service. So the way to serve them with this order is through the sheriff or personal service, which we will certainly do, and maybe they'll pay the fine.
And if they, well, we'll get too far.
They would have their 7 days to challenge the default order because they don't have service yet. But that's fine. I mean, I guess.
Do you have any discussion with them about the what-if game, where if they don't do anything, and can we?
Well, we can do two things. We can go to court to recover it as a civil case, okay, recover the fine. As far as their contractor license, there is a way, a form or something you file at the Secretary of State for that, but it wouldn't work if you didn't have service yet.
Right.
I mean, you couldn't say they defaulted if you didn't have service yet. So we have to do the service, and then I will get the form and file it if that's what we want to do.
Cross that bridge when we come to it. Okay. All right. Any, Julie, any questions about? Okay. All righty. Process of license renewals, grain storage. Julie.
This is something that just sort of came up in our review of the Earth Harvest Mills case. And, you know, looking back through the timeline of the challenges that this company has had, we've got quite a long record of involvement with them dating back to April of 2010, and then several license renewals through the process. And it just occurred to me that I don't really understand how we do the license renewals. So that was kind of the first point of my inquiry, is what's involved in renewals and what do we consider in renewing licenses if we have a company like Earth Harvest Mills, where they, we are aware of some problems that they're having in terms of paying their farmers, their customers. So I just wanted to throw it out there and talk about what our process is, and if we do, or if we can, or if we even should look at factors such as you know, their payment to customers in the issuing of a license renewal.
Okay.
So,
Sue sent out an email on that. This was last night. Last night, I think you sent it out. So, do you want to kind of go through that, or should we schedule a work session to spend some time on it, or?
Mr. Chairman, I defer to you. What do you think is best?
I think if we can do it in 10 minutes, we could do it now. If it takes more than that, we should schedule a work session.
And Randy, this is your, you know, portfolio. So, however, you and I could, you know, talk more directly with Sue if you guys want me to do that too. Or, I mean, I'd like all of us to be involved, but wanted to get your thoughts.
Well, Sue, do you think it'll take more than a few minutes? Is there a fair amount to talk through?
I don't think so.
To explain it?
Okay.
Fine, Mr.
All right. Let's go with it.
Okay. Sounds fine. I think, as I said in my memo.
If we're still going at 10:45, we're going to start a work session.
Okay.
As I said in my memo, it's just a matter of you ask for certain things, whether it's an initial application or whether it's a renewal application. We just ask for certain things to be filed. Once those items are filed, we review them for compliance with our statute, and then we determine if they've complied with everything, whether we should issue an initial license or whether we should renew an initial license, and whether it would be, if somebody hasn't complied, staff would recommend to the commission that a license be denied. If the commission were to deny a license, whether it be, again, an initial or whether it would be to recommend to the commission that we deny a license renewal, we would have to give them an opportunity to have a hearing in order to move that process forward.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we, you know, we could have done it with Hearth Harvest Mills. We could do it with any one of the licensees that we believe shouldn't get a license or shouldn't get a renewal.
When we get the licenses or the renewals, is there a process where we're looking at that file as it relates to what we're getting back from the inspectors and the proof of conversion of sale, scale tickets and their annual reports from their inspections? Are those two processes combined at all in terms of what we're looking at in renewing the license?
Well, when the inspectors complete an examination, there is a memorandum of adjustment, a document that identifies mm-hmm. whether there are any issues that need to be resolved or whether there are no issues that need to be resolved. If they complete an exam and there are major issues that need to be resolved, staff would visit with, you know, the inspector and the director, and legal would visit and determine, is there some type of action that needs to be taken? Should we maybe bring a complaint against these people or recommend a cease and desist, which is initially what had happened in the case of Earth Harvest Mills. Mm-hmm. So I don't think we would wait till renewal to bring some type of an action if an exam revealed something that needed to be addressed. I think we would just address it at the time, which, again, going, you know, using this as an example, the exam was completed probably in February or March of 2010, and we didn't wait till renewal. We, back in April,
if
made
I could
a decision.
Just and throw a thought in that is that the, I view it as perhaps staff has a responsibility, but ultimately it's our responsibility because, in this case, Sue prepared the documentation. We all had, the commissioners all had a chance to review it. Mm-hmm. We were well aware of the situation, and we didn't push it any farther. So I think Sue does a good job of laying out these are all the things, but when it comes to us, if one of us doesn't like it, we're the ones that probably need to. I mean, if the staff sees something like they did in the memorandum of agreement, they brought that forward. But these licenses, they're tough to go through. But I think it's if she doesn't hear back from one of us after she makes the initial recommendation, she usually just proceeds with it. Is that a fair statement to say?
I think we were doing the monitoring and
right, but none of us
either.
The
yes.
commissioners didn't desire to not renew their license. So, had one of us wanted to do that, we would have definitely had some type of hearing on that.
Yes.
I just wanted to add that if that process of reviewing the exam, anything that wrong from an exam, was close to the licensing period, then the thought process that I mentioned yesterday, the thought process of is this sufficient, do we think we want to file a complaint, would be used in the consideration of do we want to not renew? Or, you know, it's do we want to revoke versus do we want to not renew? It's the same thought process. And so if it were happening in June, we would probably, and we had a situation we thought was severe enough, and we came in, we would be saying, well, we could start this now and do the ask for revocation, or we can do this in July and non-renew and give a notice of opportunity. Mm-hmm. But it's the same thought process and the same evidence that would be used. It's just that if it comes in 6 months earlier, you act on it differently.
Is there a trigger with the when you're looking at a license renewal, is part of the process to examine the inspections, to look back and see how the inspections have come in and if there's any issues that have been remain unresolved or anything like that, or are they two kind of separate processes?
Well, they're kind of separate processes. Unfortunately, we have a very short window. If there was some monitoring that was going on, I think that we would take that monitoring into consideration when we are, you know, doing the renewal. And, you know, we were monitoring and we were asked to monitor, and we did go through 2010, 2011, and a 2012 renewal. And like I said, if something came up in a memorandum of adjustment, you know, mm-hmm. I really believe we would handle it at the time and on a case-by-case basis try to figure out how we're going to move forward.
But you guys we've had cases where they recommend, once they license not be approved. It wasn't for grain elevators, but that auctioneer we had, where they got the Sue and staff got the paperwork. They looked at it and said, you know, we're just not going to do this. So then they brought it to the commission. We actually held a hearing, and the individual came in and said why he should get the auctioneer license, and the three of us then agreed to it. So there have been times where it's not automatic to renew these things or to approve them. That's the only one that comes to mind. But we did hold a hearing, and he made a compelling case.
And I want to be clear, too. I'm not interested in saying whether something could have been done differently this last time at all. I think everything has been handled very well, and you guys have been paying. You've been very, very attentive to the issues at Earth Harvest Mills. So this is in no way, I hope, being construed as being critical of any of the work that's been done on this, because that's not my intention in any way, shape, or form. It just triggered to me, like, maybe this is something that we might make part of the process. And I don't know if it's valid even. I'm just throwing it out there. And, Lana, if you have thoughts on, from a legal standpoint, if this is something that is valid to tie to a license renewal or not.
I do think that it certainly is valid. And I wanted to say from my experience as sort of outside the division but working on these issues, the problem elevators are on the radar screen constantly. Okay. Now, I don't get into the weeds of the memorandum of adjustment and how they're coming, but I do know that if there are problems, if there are memoranda of adjustment that need to work or that work isn't happening on, it's on the radar screen on Sue's mind, and it's and whatever she and the two inspectors are doing when they have their meetings. So I'm comfortable that that may be informal process, but I'm comfortable that it's there, and because she'll come to me with questions like that when the time comes up. But it certainly could be something that would not take a lot of extra work at renewal time to flag for the commission, perhaps. Ones that have a pending memorandum of adjustment that progress is being made, yes or no? I mean, and if it's no, you're probably already, and if it's bad enough, no. Probably already going to hear about it some other way. But it might be something that could be done so that when it comes to the commission meeting time, you feel, you know, you kind of can just double check, yes, it's been done.
Mm-hmm.
and there's two out there, but there's sufficient progress, or something like that, that would give you that, and a record going back from year to year that was looked at. I don't know how much work that would be, but I would think that we could probably invent a way to do that without a lot of work. The big problematic ones will be brought to you, I think, one way or another, regardless. But if you want the routine, the vast majority do not have things they have to correct, I'm hoping. Do they?
Well, I think there are. It's not unusual to find conditions that do have to be corrected, and they are required to have them corrected in 30 days, or to file reports with 2-week interval reports with staff. If there are major things, again, that we are finding when we do an exam, we would bring it to the attention of the commission at that time. And I did want to mention that when the commission decided to issue a license to Northwood Mills, and that was after, you know, the failure by the company previously, we asked for financials before issuing the license to them. And when we came around to that renewal, because we had asked for financials previously and we'd been monitoring them also, we did ask for financials, and Mike did review those financials before the staff made a decision to renew that license. This really is an anomaly, and hopefully we never have another anomaly like this. I think
it kind of falls into the whole category of everyone's trying to figure out, you know, how do we get at this issue of increasing insolvencies, and this might just be a small, tiny, teeny, tiny piece of the puzzle, but extra ways that we can be getting a advance notice or getting involved earlier with the companies that there might be some problems, and preventing, if necessary, additional losses, because customers are allowed to still come and sell. And so anyway, it's just another one of the possible solutions or ways to get at the issue of the increasing insolvencies and reducing the number of people that are affected by them, if possible.
It may make a difference. It may not. Going back to Northwood Mills again, we had an inspector that went out and did an exam, and everything was fine on that exam, and I think it was 2 or 3 months before we started getting calls on Northwood Mills, and it was an approximate 30-day period of time for which every single one of those farmers or other elevators delivered grain to Northwood Mills, and they were unable to make payment, and there was a failure.
Yeah.
And it was similar with Anderson Seeds. When I look back at our previous exams, the previous exams did not reveal anything that was really concerning or out of the norm of what we see at an elevator. And then when we started getting calls, again, on Anderson Seed, Tim conducted a book audit immediately, and that book audit showed that that was at the end of January or February. And that showed that all of the deliveries that were made beginning in October through the end of the year are the ones for which payment hadn't been made. So
I'm sensing that, didn't mean to cut you off, but I'm going to stay on schedule. I'm sensing a commission that is much less tolerant than the previous commission to elevator problems, where I think that Kevin and Tony and I, speaking for myself, we didn't have the votes to do the things that I sensed that they might have to do now to some of these cases. If the work session the other day is any indication, this commission is vastly different than the previous commission on how we view these things. So I think your inspectors and you're going to be more empowered than perhaps you were before. So bring this stuff to, don't, my opinion, don't use the model what the previous commission did to what this commission is saying. That's what I'm sensing just talking to Randy and Julie about these issues, that there's less tolerance to these than there maybe was before. So I don't know if Randy had any thoughts to that or Julie, but I'm just comparing you two thoughts.
I like Alana's idea of just if it's not overly burdensome, just having a little flag on the license renewals that you know, all the issues from the memorandum of understandings are resolved, or there's this and that are remaining, and especially if there's any, you know, scale ticket payment issues or, you know, financial stuff, as just a double check as part of the, you know, things that we review on the renewals.
And if you had brought in some of those problem elevators for a quick informal with the commission before you renewed it, even if it was just a procedural maneuver, it would send a strong message. Even if we just brought them in here quickly for, hey, we'd like to talk to you briefly before we renew this license, it would change a lot, I think.
We can do that. Not okay. A problem at all.
All right. Give you the closing comment.
Okay. I guess, Mr. M, the only thing would be we probably have a responsibility to do even more than whatever's been done in the past. And I don't know exactly how to reach out to get their attention, but the farmers play a role in this too. Mm-hmm. As I talked to Sue, you know, many times what our inspectors are finding is these grain deals that haven't been paid, but the elevators would like the person to turn that into a contract, but they don't want to offend their big customers either. And the farmers wait and wait, and because they're, you know, continuing to weigh their options.
They don't want their money.
And that's not solely the elevator's fault either. You know, you can't blame them for not wanting to irritate their customers. So we need to reach out and make sure that the farmers understand that when they do that kind of manipulating of their options, they're putting themselves, their neighbors, and their elevators at great risk. And we need to get that message out that this isn't just a tool that can be used for months and months. That there's clear laws, clear definitions, clear rules, and they need to follow them as well.
Fair enough.
I'd like to mention one thing, and it's a little tiny bit, and it'll take 30 seconds.
Okay.
And that is approximately a month ago, we started, licensing started sending out a copy of every one of the memorandums that are issued to the board members. And I made a decision to the board president, I should say. I made a decision that whether that was good, bad, or indifferent, a copy was going. That way, I didn't want to pick and choose which ones or how bad it is before you send it out. The exam is done. I send a letter. Here is a copy. Our inspectors completed an exam. This is what we did. This is a, you know, what was the result of that exam, and this is where we are with it. If you have any questions, give us a call.
Good.
We haven't gotten any calls yet from anybody, but like I said, it's going out no matter what it says.
All right. Perfect.
Me.
Bless you.
That's a good idea.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Item B3. Alana, you've got some updates, questions?
Do you want
the feedback from the testimony?
I just wanted to confirm. And
thank you, Sue.
On 2209, we'll do the testimony I sent around, and a couple of you have gotten back to me already. It is the same time as 1147. I don't think we have to testify on 1147 because that was the one we worked out. And if I'm doing the other one, though, I won't be at 1147. So I'm assuming maybe a commissioner is going to be there because you were before. And that's – I want to be sure everybody was okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking that maybe Pat should also attend that in case there's those kind of reroute questions.
Mm.
I think the person is going to do the PowerPoint and stuff again about the buckets.
Okay.
Okay. Because the other one's eminent domain, and I can handle those questions probably. And then the last one, I still need to spend some time, a little bit of time when I'm not distracted, going over it. But the first review of it, Pat and I don't think we need to say anything anymore. What we said before was, this is just sort of confusing. They have changed it a little bit.
Refresh me again with 1333.
That's the one about oil and gas using the fund, the reclamation fund that's for abandoned wells, for abandoned gathering lines, and then also saltwater disposal wells, I think.
Okay.
And they didn't make the changes that we thought would be really good, but I think they made enough changes because one of the definitions now it applies to things that are not under 4922. So the gathering definition refers to 4922, and that's helpful. They didn't really deal with the gas safety definitions, but I still think it's probably workable. Like I said, it's still a little odd, but I don't know that we have to say anything. If you want to look at it and talk to me today, that'd be fine. If anything different comes up, I'll do a quick.
Just if amendments pop up or something that has us get more involved, because I thought it looked pretty benign to us, too.
Yes. It was just confusing in the beginning. Okay. There were two amendments. The second one was from the Appropriations Committee, because it deals with the oil and gas budget. So there's a second engrossed bill is the one you should be looking at.
Okay. All right. Anything else, Julie?
Question for Alana, and I don't know if 1333 is the bill that this guy was telling me about last night or not. It sort of seems to ring a bell, but I'm not sure. The complaint was from a county commissioner who said that people are licensing or permitting saltwater disposal sites, and then they use that and turn them into like incinerator areas, and these commissioners have no idea what's being burned and what's being done there. Is that what this bill is about, to address that, to clarify the difference or something?
I don't think so. I think this is about abandon. I think this is about somebody bails and the line needs to be reclaimed and you use the oil and gas slush fund, whatever it is, to do it. Okay? I think. But I'll have to look at it. I'm going to be reading it again when this meeting's done. Is that how you're recalling it, Pat, too? Oh, slurry fund. Okay. Okay. I'm not sure the person didn't have a bill number for you.
No.
On that. Okay. Well, we could talk a little more later, and maybe we can figure out what it is.
Okay. So that covers all the hearings then as far as we know. And Darrell, you're double-checking Thursday just to make sure we don't have the pop-up on Friday again. Okay. Any other discussion matters that we should talk about while we're all here?
I have none.
Okay. All right. We'll go to scheduling. Mr. Gallion is itching to talk about electronic filing.
Yes. We just wanted to schedule the time to...
Why don't you step on up to the microphone, my friend?
During our last business ops meeting, we talked about the filing procedures.
Yeah, when you say we, you and I and Steve
and
Darrell. Okay.
So, yes.
All right.
Not just you and I concocting some devious
or
plan.
You and Steve. Or
Steve, yeah. I get that a lot.
But no, we talked about getting a work session together with the commissioners and maybe even the directors and just talk about what we could do better with less paper, electronic filing, electronic this. And there was really not a focus area we were looking at. Just maybe have all the directors look at what they're doing and what we could do better going forward. And I think Steve has some targeted ideas and Josh wants to save us some money. And I didn't really have a time frame other than I wanted to put something in the schedule because we were talking about it. And so I don't think it has to take place during the session.
No,
But I would like to get something on the schedule if that's okay with you two. So, okay, so when should we do this thing? May?
After May? May or after?
Let's pick a time then.
Late May, early June.
But for all the directors to be thinking about it now with, you know, maybe what you are doing, what you would like to do if the money was there, and then the pie in the sky kind of thing. And maybe, I don't know, Steve and Josh, if you guys want to put some more structure around this, that's fine. But I just think it's something.
Maybe Steve and Josh could meet with each of the directors and kind of go through some ideas so you have some stuff to bring forward. If you have ideas for them.
Well, we do, and we also like to hear their ideas.
Yeah.
Okay, so what about May 22nd? We have a commission meeting that day, right? So what about like the 23rd or the 21st? That's quite a ways out, but I don't have anything then.
I have an afternoon meeting on the 21st.
Okay. 23rd?
Morning.
I think I'll be in New York on the 23rd.
Okay.
How long of a meeting do you think we need?
Probably a couple hours.
How about the morning of the 21st?
Julie, does that work
that
for you?
That works for me. Mm-hmm.
There you have it. Let's go 9 o'clock. Perfect. That'll give us, that will be wrapped up by lunch at the latest. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Gallion.
Thank you.
All right. What else do we have? Mr. Sheldon. Hey. We didn't take care of this already, did we? Okay, so what were we waiting for? We were waiting for the company to get a chance to reply back to some of their thoughts. Did the Bruce give us anything else? We're not waiting for anything on him, right?
I do not believe so. I did have the chance this morning to talk to Rob Latimer.
Okay.
With TransCanada, and he informed me that the plans for the tree mitigation will go on as decided, which will be as soon as the ground is able to accept the trees. They are also internally looking at the suggestions that he picked up at the informal hearing, which he stated this morning was very beneficial to hear, not only from Bruce, but from some other neighbors that were also in attendance.
Okay.
Did he have any sense when they would be making a decision on some of that stuff? No. Nope.
He did not.
Well, unless Randy or Julie, I'd say like April 8th or 9th. I know that's a little ways out, but that's give us them some time to do some things. Does that either of those 2 days work for you?
Well, I'll tell you, within reason. I mean, we can't just let them drag their feet forever, unless we choose that to decide that everything is fine,
right,
or at least within our control that everything is fine. But to hurry the meeting too much, I expect we're going to get here and wonder then what they're planning on doing. And so until they've had some time to make some of those internal decisions, I don't know that it pays to meet just too quickly.
Do you think it would?
That would be the early side.
Okay. To Rod, was it? Robert.
Robert,
if we said the commission is meeting on such and such a date, and we'd like to hear back from the company on your decisions regarding any other additional mitigation efforts, or do we just move forward and hope we hear back from them?
I guess let me just sidestep even one step farther to the right, or left, however you look at it. I think there's an issue for the three of us to talk about. Is there an issue? Before we go down the road too far of solving an issue. And so that's why I think we find that balance of, you know what I mean? It's, I think that's something for us to talk about with staff on that. So what were you thinking for a time frame, Julie, I guess? Randy said the earliest would be what, 8th and 9th, and I think that whatever you think.
I'm fine with the 8th and 9th. Yeah, okay. That would be fine. I wouldn't want to go much longer than that, though, because I think that
it trickles along too long.
I want to be responsive to the folks that came in here and are waiting to hear.
Right. Did you want another week, Randy, to let it work? Because we could go the next week, too, and then that would be 30 days from today.
You know, 3 weeks gives them some time to come up with some internal ideas. I think that
okay.
Second week of April time frame is fine.
All right. Well, we've got a commission meeting on the 10th. So would you like to go the afternoon of the 8th or the morning of the 9th? How does that sound? Any preferences?
Do the morning of the 9th, probably.
Okay. Randy, that work for you?
Works for me.
All right, there we have it.
Time?
10 o'clock. Alana, for this one, who was our attorney way back in this Keystone sighting?
Bill Binnick.
He's retired now.
I can follow. I'll follow through on this with you. If you want. I mean, I'm invested enough. Catching up to what was going on.
But I think that.
And the new attorney can certainly learn as well by observing what's going on or being involved a bit.
All right, so maybe if the commissioners, if we have any questions that we want asked for that work session to get them to, like if there's something we want in that work session, get it to Scott or Alana now so they have it ready to go. Because this will be an interesting work session, I bet. Okay, any other thoughts, Julie?
Not on that. I did have one other thought that I should have probably
known
it sooner, but maybe it fits more on scheduling. But
so we got the time. What did we say? 10 o'clock on the 9th, right?
Yep.
Okay.
What time did we choose on that May 21st meeting?
Nine,
I know it was morning.
Nine.
But
9 o'clock.
9?
Okay. I want to make sure we're done with that. Next slide.
Do we have an appetite for doing any additional research on getting any more expertise to advise us on noise, especially even prior to this? Maybe it might be helpful.
We have money, right? We have a fee. Yes, no? On Keystone.
Sure, we have
because we got extra money, yeah.
To answer your question, Julie, I think that's a good idea.
It would be nice to get some, I'd like to get some more information on frequency and whether that's something that's even in the realm of measurable and controllable and changeable. Can they change that? So
I think it's an important part of our process going forward. We're going to, you know, we talked about it yesterday with the basin siting fee, mm-hmm. siting application. We're talking about it with this. And as things are sited around, I can understand why people don't want excessive and irritating noise. And we, if we can figure out some way to set some constraints that work, it would be good, because I don't really see that just this decibel level is a great way, but maybe that's the best there is, but we should sure find out.
Well, there's, I wonder if, what is it, NRRI, the NARU research guys, if they've got someone there that can come out and give us, we've used them before for things. That's the only thought that comes to my mind, to find a sound expert. I would be open to anybody's thoughts on that.
It's a good place to start. If they don't, they're probably they would need you somewhere.
So we'd be looking at, and I'm just making this up here, we're looking at someone to come out and give us maybe a regulatory overview of what the law says or what the rules say, federal. Mm-hmm. And then state, we don't have much. And then an expert talking about what are some of the factors that deal with harm, if you will.
Noise, yeah.
I just got to mention, years ago, I guess, when the Fall Creek Mine was located right in our underground, I know there's concerns about noise. And
at that time, we got somebody from the State Health Department involved, just, you know, more for looking at some of the levels that could be detrimental. So that might be somebody else to check with regard to that. They probably couldn't offer anything as far as what could be done to reduce with any equipment, but I guess just the detrimental levels.
That's a great idea. They could talk from a state perspective. Okay, so
if I might add,
you volunteering to do this, Steve?
But there are it is an area where within factories, within power plants, those kinds of things, where noise is something that they do study and mitigation methods for doing that. And the one thing that I thought I'd point out is that depending on the frequency of the noise, the mitigation is considerably different. And if it's a higher frequency noise, there are things that will eliminate that may not work well for lower frequency. So getting a frequency spectrum of what kind of noise is actually the irritation part of it, I think is something that probably needs to be done. And it's possible that somebody from the health department would have that capability. But I think you have not only the legal ramifications of, you know, do you want to do something and what authority do you have, but you also have a scientific one where you need to know what the noise irritation is. Is it a certain frequency? Is it a certain type of noise? Is it a rhythmic noise? There's a lot of things that can go into it that make the noise irritable. So I think if we could find somebody who does that for a living, they have very sophisticated tools for doing it and analysis methods. So something to think about.
Okay. So I think, how much money might we have for this? You'll get back to us? Okay. I'm looking for a volunteer, Daryl.
I will do that. I think that's an interesting concept, and I think there is some resources out there, and I know of some.
That fits into your background, you
know,
a little bit.
But I know also under risk management,
yep.
You know, and again, Steve made a good point, because under the whole risk management process with businesses, companies, whatever, you know, when they start looking at ear protection or hearing protection, sure. You know, that there are some frequency issues, both high-level and low-level frequencies that we need to be conscious of.
So you'll round up some thoughts with Health Department, NRI, talk with Julie and Randy if there's any questions that we have, and have them come back. And I'm sure the Health Department probably wouldn't charge us, but NRI probably we paid for their travel to come out here, and then if anybody else thinks of anything, that's it.
OSHA. So we're looking at kind of two issues, one as it pertains to this case, and then two more generally, how we might approach this moving forward. on our siding?
I guess so. Alana had a thought on that. I can see she...
Well, my thought was eventually what the results end up being will be learning and precedent in the next siding gap. I mean, I could see eventually perhaps writing a rule with standards if you develop, say, a frequency standard or something that you learn about from this.
Okay.
So you can, that's a couple steps down, but it's not, you know, not out of the realm of possible.
But that'll be part of the discussion, because Julie gets right to the point where as we make decisions on cases where there's concerns, does this stuff ever have to go back into a record? If we would not, I'm not talking any case,
okay,
but if we, case X comes in front of us and we decide to do something different, it would seem to me that there's always going to be two sides of the coin, that the one side's going to want that to be part of an official record in the case, or am I wrong on that?
In a new case, you'll be asking questions, if the applicant isn't volunteering this kind of specificity in the application, you'll be asking for it. And then it'll be in the record, and you'll be asking about it at the hearing or whatever develops, why they don't want to do it, will be at a hearing. In Keystone, if it is something that you decide you need to be considering, we were, as the little note to Commissioner Fedorchuk went at the work session, there is a process for amending your order. I mean, if you decided that you were putting a frequency limit on this, whether all the parties agreed to it or not, you're going to have to amend that order formally. Yes, and you'd have to amend it formally to have it a standard for the next 30 years.
Right.
Okay, if it goes that direction.
Then we could open up, and not that it's not a good idea, but we could certainly open up Pandora's box for everything we cited.
Well, I think you'd do a notice. You have to do a notice, but I think the notice would have to be crafted narrowly.
Okay.
Okay.
Getting ahead of myself, perhaps, but just things to digest. Great idea, Julie. Okay, anything else?
Well, one more thing I think that could be researched in the meantime. I assume NARUC would know if other regulatory commissions had adopted rules that perhaps had, used the 55 decibels but had a lower level for certain frequencies or something like that. But would they know about it if other states had done something like that through the legislative process? So maybe we need to contact NCSL as well and see if they're familiar with...
What's NCSL again?
The National Conference of State Legislatures.
Oh, okay.
And they would be familiar if any states had adopted something. And, you know, maybe there's a... Maybe some of this research work is done already, too.
Mm-hmm. I think if anyone has the email serve list for any committees at NARUC that would be relevant, like I'll do law and Scott could do consumer, and if anybody knows has the environmental e-list, you could just shoot an email out that way and ask for some responses, because the people on the committees would be very familiar.
Yeah, I know what I'll call, just forgot his name, Chris. I'll call Chris up and ask him, we'll go from there. So I'll contact the NARUC guys. All right, so good points. Anything else? Going once, going twice? All right, we'll close the, what do we call this? Administration portion of our meeting. Thank you.